Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in today. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and I'd like to take just a moment to invite you to come and be with us if you are in the listening area of Boone, North Carolina. Mount Lebanon is located just outside of Boone on Highway 105 South. You are going to go take 105 South towards Banner Elk, and just, I think it's 2.5-3 miles outside of the city limits. You take a right on Baird's Creek Road. We're 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. So we'd love for you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. We have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org, that has all of our service times, upcoming events, things of that nature, telephone number, all that stuff, address. So we invite you to come out, pray for us. We do desire the prayers of God's people, but we appreciate the church. We appreciate the ministry. And I hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I want to say how much I enjoyed last week. Brother Rick Cornejo was with us here on Blessings of Liberty, and I enjoyed his visit. We talked about Memorial Day and just had a good time. And so we appreciate him. We appreciate our local American Legion Post and all they do in the community, and how they help with the funerals and everything that they take part in. We just appreciate so much and love those fellas and what they do. They do a good work, and we thank the Lord for that. So we wanted to say that before we got started today. Noah is back with us. He was off, or he wasn't able to be here for about a semester because he was in school, but he's back this summer, and it's good to have you back. And I want to say hello to you before we got started.
Hello, it's good to be back, and I do enjoy coming here. And we do want to say how much we appreciate our listeners here, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on Saturdays through AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and also KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners, and I'm glad to have Noah back, and he does so much to help me on the radio, and we've had some extra things going on, and so he has really helped me a lot, and I appreciate that so much, because this is a move beyond my technical area of knowing how to do it, and he uses a computer and email and does a whole lot of things, so I really, really appreciate that. But today we're going to get right back into our study that we started on the Bill of Rights, and we have already been looking at this for several weeks, and I want to say I apologize for my throat. It's allergy season, and I got into some weed eating a couple of days ago, and it has really worked on me. So if I squeak and have to stop and all, just don't pay any attention to that. I'm doing the best I can. But anyway, we're dealing with that, and I know a lot of people are as well. I am thankful for spring. I'll take the allergies and spring and summer over no allergies and freezing in the winter any day. So I do apologize for my throat. It's been giving me a little bit of problem, but we'll do the best that we can. But we're studying about the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, and we had just begun to look at the Second Amendment. The first we've already covered. We took several weeks to talk about the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Five very important things there in the First Amendment, when we're talking about freedom of religion, freedom of speech, the press, freedom to assemble, to petition the government for redress of grievances. If there is any hope for the healing and restoration of our nation, and we should not kid ourselves that that is exactly what we need in America. We need a healing. We need a restoration. We need a taking or a restoring of our country back to our founding principles. We have gotten so far away from that that we're in a very dangerous position in our country. Other countries have gone down this same road in the past, and it never turns out good. So we need that. And if there is going to be any hope for our nation politically, economically, in respect to jobs, the economy, spiritually, morally, the First Amendment must be protected. All of these rights that are expressed in the First Amendment have to be able to be continued. Freedom of religion, the free exercise thereof, that pastors should be able to stand in the pulpit and preach what the Bible says without fear of harassment from the government or from the IRS or anybody else as far as from the government is concerned. And the press needs to be free. The press is not a tool to be used by the government. It is a check, or should be a check, on what goes on in society. And the press needs to be able to investigate, to report, to not be intimidated, investigated, spied upon. But, you know, we've seen all these things in the past year or two going on in the press. And then the right of the people to peaceably assemble. And you see all the time, we see this First Amendment rights being suppressed, oppressed. If we do not have the First Amendment, we will devolve into fascism, communism, socialism. So it's very, very important that we have the First Amendment. Now, going from the First Amendment to the Second Amendment, the Second Amendment ensures the First Amendment. The Second Amendment, many people are familiar with, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So you're familiar with the Second Amendment and what it says. Now, there's not a word in there, and we have already pointed this out many times previously. There's not a word about gun collecting. There's not a word in it about target shooting, deer hunting, bear hunting, caribou hunting, anything like that. That is not the primary purpose of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is in place to prevent foreign invasion and government tyranny. That is what the Second Amendment is in place for, or even an insurrection within which would overthrow the government, something like that. That is why the militia, that is why the Second Amendment, that the people, and the people armed, make up the militia in America. That is what the militia is, the people armed. That makes up the militia in the different states. But our founders of this nation, they had experienced all of those things, both of those things. King George from Britain, he was a tyrant, and he invaded America with the Redcoats, and they were fighting the British, the tyranny of the British Empire. And King George had hired foreign mercenaries. If you study about what was going on in England before the beginning of the American Revolutionary War, when King George went before the House of Lords and made the case that Britain was basically going to go to war with America, her own subjects, her own citizens. He made the case in his speech that they had, that he was going to hire mercenaries to help in doing that. And that is exactly what he did. So in the American Revolutionary War, when you read the history about that, you will find from time to time, you will find the Americans, the Patriots, not only fighting the Redcoats, but you find them also fighting the German Hessians. They'd been hired by King George to come to this country and fight on behalf of the British Empire. So they had experienced all of these things. They wanted some safeguards in place that they would never again have to fear, or at least if it happened, that they would be able to repel government tyranny and foreign invasion. And so they had experienced those things. And we have the Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights. Now, as I began to prepare for this week's radio broadcast, the news came out that there's been another mass shooting. In fact, there was over the past week or 10 days, there's been several shootings that have taken place. There was out in California, down in Myrtle Beach. There was a shooting down there during bike week. I don't know what all that was about, but this thing out in California, that's made the big news. And here was this troubled young man, and he had all kinds of problems, and people near him knew about it, knew these threats that he had made. He had posted videos on YouTube and things like that. Well, nobody in the law enforcement community knew anything, or if they knew, they didn't do anything about this troubled young man. Well, he went on a killing spree, and he killed six people, wounded, I think, 13 others at least, and then evidently turned a gun and killed his own self. And so that's been all over the news. And here we are talking about the Second Amendment and the right to keep and bear arms. Now, here's something interesting you may not have heard about this shooting that took place out in California. This young man killed six people. Three of those people he killed with a knife. I saw a picture of the sheriff's department doing a news briefing about him. It had his picture on a board and two pistols. And they were talking about that was the picture. You know, a lot of people do not read the whole article of anything, but they just go by the picture. So here's this young man. He's killed all these people, and here's the bad guys, the young man and the guns. But three people, his own roommates, he stabbed to death with a knife. They didn't have a picture of a knife on the board. There's no calls to legislate or outlaw or get rid of knives, but half of the people that he killed with a knife. The other three, he killed with a gun, and then he killed himself with a gun. He injured several through gunshot and intended to kill a whole lot more, but thankfully didn't. But it's a horrible, tragic, sad thing, no doubt about that. But here's what happens every time. The headline news yesterday, I believe it was, father of victim blames NRA and Congress. Not a word said about the killing with the knives. If you didn't read the article, you'd think that he killed all those people with a gun, but he didn't. But here's this father, and he's outraged, and he should be, but he's blaming not society, not the media or anything like that. He's blaming the NRA. He's blaming Congress. And there was renewed calls for more gun legislation, more background checks, and all of these things. And here's the problem with that. I mean, at first you might say, well, that just makes sense. But the problem with that is there are already plenteous laws on the books with regards to firearms. It's already against the law to obtain firearms unlawfully if you're a felon. if you're a fugitive from justice, if you're mentally unstable, if you've ever been in trouble with the law in regards to spousal abuse or anything like that, there's all kinds of laws about who can have a firearm or buy a firearm, possess a firearm, and who cannot. So there's all kinds of laws already. There's already background checks. I have a unique perspective on this. I have been a FFL, a federally licensed firearm dealer in the past. I'm not any longer, but I have been. I've seen how that works. Very few times was a background check ever denied. Those that were, do you think the people were picked up at the door, that they were arrested, that they were confronted? No, that's not how it works. They don't even use background checks to make arrest when a criminal or somebody that shouldn't have a gun tries to get one. Very, very low percentage of that. And so it's already against the law to have a firearm illegally. It's already against the law to kill people. Whether you use a gun, whether you use a knife, whether you use a rock, a stick, a bat, a car, a bomb, whatever, it's already against the law to kill people, murder people, go to the terror of the people armed, and there's all kinds of laws. Here's the thing. In a real world, more laws does not equal less violent crime. That is just a fact of life. Today, I was noticing that Detroit, Michigan is in the news. They were saying in the news, it's like living in a third world country. Detroit, Chicago, Washington, D.C., they all have more laws than about anywhere in the country on the books. And they also have more violent crime, more killing, raping, robbing, stealing, drug problems, all of these things. More laws does not equal less crime. All more laws does, when you infringe the Second Amendment, it makes the nation more treacherous, not less treacherous. Ask people in the Ukraine what happens when you're unarmed. Ask people in Mexico how safe you are when the people are disarmed, and the drug cartels and the crooked police down there, when they have arms and the citizenry at large has been unarmed. You live in a state of fear all the time. What about the 200 girls kidnapped in Nigeria? And, that I cannot see that happening in America. There's no way. But in countries where people have been disarmed, they live in a very dangerous state all the time. And so there's some things that we need to think about before rushing and changing and doing away with the Second Amendment. I want to spend the rest of the time today. I come across something. It's a speech given by Herbert Hoover on the subject of the Bill of Rights. Now, this is after he had already been president. This was September 17th, 1935. He was voted out of office in 1932. So he's been out of office for 3 years at this time. And after he was president, he spent time teaching and doing things more along those lines, and making speeches. But anyway, this is a speech that he gave September 17th, 1935, in San Diego, California. The history is such a great teacher. And boy, if we would just learn our history and know what has gone and been said in the past concerning these things, we would be a lot farther ahead than we are. Because the bad things of history, they repeat themselves. And if we don't learn and know history, we just go right along like it's a new idea. Well, what's happening in America today is happening in other countries. I'll show you from his speech what I'm talking about. But anyway, this was made in San Diego, California. The news report introduction to the speech said, from this city, far from the political turmoil of Washington, Herbert Hoover today reminded this country, of which he so recently was president, that the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, exist today as a greater force for freedom than ever before. No exigencies of emergency, he said, can nullify them. So when a emergency comes along, you just can't come along and do away with the Bill of Rights. That is what he's saying. So I want to read from his speech. He said, "Our Constitution is not alone the working plan of a great federation of states under representative government. There is embedded in it also the vital principles of the American system of liberty." And let me say, our system of liberty is different and unique apart from all the other countries in the world. He said that system is based upon certain inalienable freedoms and protections which not even the government may infringe. Now, the word infringe there is the same word that we find when we come to the Second Amendment, where it talks about shall not be infringed, talking about the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The government does not have the right to take away these basic God-given rights. So he said, which not even the government may infringe, and which we call the Bill of Rights. It does not require a lawyer to interpret those provisions. They are as clear as the Ten Commandments. Of course, if Mr. Herbert Hoover could come and see today, he would say we can't go to the bathroom without a lawyer. And that's the truth. You can't build a building without, you got to have lawyers for everything. But in a simpler day, people had more common sense. And he said you don't have to have a lawyer to interpret the Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights. He said, among others, the freedom of worship, freedom of speech and of the press, the right of peaceable assembly, equality before the law, just trial for crime, freedom from unreasonable search and security, from being deprived of life, liberty, and property without due process of law are the principles which distinguish our civilization. Then he says something very interesting. Herein, talking about the Bill of Rights, are the invisible sentinels which guard the door of every home from invasion of coercion, of intimidation, and fear. The invisible sentinels which guard the door. That's the Bill of Rights. That's what keeps tyranny from happening in America. That's what keeps us a free people, free to worship, free to assemble, that keeps us from being hauled in the court and not charged and our land and liberties being stolen. But you know, these things are happening all the time round about us. But he said, these are the invisible sentinels which guard the door. He said, herein is the expression of the spirit of men who would be forever free. We get rid of these Bill of Rights, or part of them, we're no longer free. And that's what he says. He makes the case. These rights were no sudden discovery, no overnight inspiration. They were established by centuries of struggle in which men died fighting bitterly for their recognition. Their beginnings lie in the Magna Charta at Runnymede, 570 years before the Constitution was written. Down through the centuries, the habeas corpus, the petition of rights, the declaration of rights, the growth of the fundamental maxims of the common law marked their expansion and security. Do you know the people who fought in the American Revolutionary War, their case before King George was to have their rights as English citizens. Their rights as English citizens were being trampled upon. They were not being recognized as even their fellow citizens were in Britain. And that's part of the reason why they declared themselves independent of Britain. He said, our forefathers migrated to America that they might attain them more fully. When they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they boldly extended these rights. Before the Constitution could be ratified, patriotic men who feared a return to tyranny, whose chains had been thrown off only after years of toil and bloody war, insisted that these hard-won rights should be incorporated in black and white within the Constitution, and so came the American Bill of Rights. And we've explained before the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. The Federalists wanted a stronger, more centralized government. They fought for the Constitution. The Anti-Federalists, they wanted safeguards in place. They did not disagree with the center, the more powerful government, but they said there's got to be some guarantees. And so thank the Lord for both of them. You got to have both of them. And he talks about that. Now listen, he talks about the time after the Great War. He's talking here about the time period after World War I. Listen what he says. In the hurricane of revolutions which have swept the world since the Great War, that's World War I. We're talking about 1935 here. He said, men struggling with the wreckage and poverty of that great catastrophe and the complications of the machine age are in despair, surrendering their freedom for false promises of economic security. Surrendering their freedoms for false promises. Let me tell you, history repeats itself. He's talking about what was happening in the 1930s. He said, whether it be fascist Italy, Nazi Germany, communist Russia, or their lesser followers, the result is the same. Every day, they repudiate every principle of the Bill of Rights. Freedom of worship is denied. Freedom of speech is suppressed. The press is censored and distorted with propaganda. That describes perfectly the state of our mainstream media in America today. The press is censored and it is distorted with propaganda. He said the right of criticism is denied. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Oh, if you criticize the president, you're a racist. If you don't agree, you're a racist. We see this being used even today. He said, men go to jail or the gallows for honest opinions. They may not assemble for discussion. They speak of public affairs only in whispers. They are subject to search and seizure by spies and inquisitors who haunt the land. I think about the NSA. I think about the TSA. I think about Homeland Security. I think about everything you say, do, text, talk on the phone is being watched, listened to, spied on. It's possible. He said the safeguards of justice in trial or imprisonment are set aside. Many times in America, you're guilty until you prove your own self innocent. It's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. He said there's no right in one's savings or one's own home which the government need respect. Here is a form of servitude, of slavery, a slipping back toward the Middle Ages. How interesting that is. Our time has quickly caught us today. If you could find that speech online, it would certainly be worth reading the whole thing. But unless we get back to our founding, unless we get back to our foundation as a nation, we're in a lot of trouble. Isaiah 33, verse number 22, I'll close with. It says this, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us. That is your original judicial, legislative, and executive branch of government. The idea comes from the Lord. He's our judge. That's your judicial. He's our lawgiver. He is our King. That's the legislative. That's the executive. Well, may the Lord save us even in this late hour. Thank you for listening. Have a great day and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.